broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for November the 28th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is hour two of two, and our goal is to promote God, family, and country on your radio. Our goal is to protect life, liberty, and property in the traditions of our founding fathers. Our goal, ladies and gentlemen, is to reject revolution, to stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And our goal, ladies and gentlemen, is to bring you news the networks refuse to use. We reject revolution, we stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And man, boy, howdy, do we have a lot to talk about on your radio. I got a bunch of different articles that I've been struggling to get to because there's just so much to discuss. I haven't really had time to focus on it enough, but I want to get to it. We're going to do it now. And as you know, I make my living in technology. I do radio. I produce radio talk shows. I do podcasts. I do radio work, production work for people. I also run an IT company where we take care of businesses and provide IT consulting, technology and HR and accounting consulting for companies. I give them best practice on security, all kinds of consulting. My company is Small Business Tech Guys by day. And, you know, sbtechguys.com does a great job helping people understand technology and what goes into it and what the best things to do for your business are. And, you know, the whole idea behind my company is to say, hey, if you run a business, why don't you focus on what your business is about, what you do best, and we'll take care of the technology and the HR and provide guidance and support and services that really make that stuff sing for you behind the scenes. And that way, you know what, you don't have to be derailed from your core. You can focus on growing your business. In other words, instead of working in your business, you can work on your business, right? Instead of just being down in the trenches dealing with every little tidbit, you can, you know, make a difference that way by working on your business and leave all the technical and all the other complicated details to somebody who's got experience and who understands and who's been involved in many, many, many startups of small business, etc. Anyway, I bring that to your attention not because I really want to promote my business so much, but to let you know what I do for a living. And right around the Thanksgiving time when everybody's talking about, you know, digital this, digital that, everybody's shopping online, everybody's, you know, locked down in their homes, so they're dealing with media. And I mean, everything relates to computers and technology almost every day, all the time, it feels like. You know, what we do is we go to work and we work hard with technology screens in front of us, keyboards in front of us, mice in front of us, and we do this all day. When we get done, like, oh, that was so gnarly. I'm about dead working on, you know, technology. And then what we do is we go to our technology for entertainment, right? For a break. Oh, my gosh, I need some downtime. Let's do more technology. And although I'm as technical as the next guy and I love technology for many, many, many things, I think oftentimes the low-tech answer is the real answer. One of the phrases that I've used over the years in my business, for example, to make the point is we keep an eye on tech so you don't have to. And another phrase we use quite often is, you know, let technology serve you, not own you. All right, so we keep an eye on tech so you don't have to, and let technology serve you, not own you. And the idea behind that is to say, hey, you know what? Technology has its place. It can do tremendous things. It can prosper your business. It's necessary in the modern world to be technically savvy and have your technical act together. I get it. I support it. And I agree with it. But at the same time, I think low-tech answers are really the answer. When is tech owning you and controlling you and a problem? And when is it actually serving you? Anyway, there's a headline that I saw by Brian X. Chen that I find to be a very interesting article. And here's what it says. Here's the headline. Tech fix. Digital diet. You know you need it. That's the headline to Brian's article. And it talks about excessive screen time can be harmful to our well-being, but we can free ourselves from Tech Hooks with what they call goals, rules, and boundaries. When is enough? Even though the presidential election is over, ladies and gentlemen, we're still, quote, doom scrolling, is what he calls it. That's an interesting phrase. Through gloomy news about the coronavirus surge. And the rest of your daily routine, ladies and gentlemen, is probably something like mine, he says. While stuck at home during the pandemic, the time is divided between movies on Netflix, watching home improvement videos on YouTube, and playing video games. All of these activities involve staring at a screen. There has to be more to life than this, he continues. With the holiday season upon us, now is a good time to take a breather and consider a, quote, digital detox. Think about that. A digital detox. He goes on and says, no, that doesn't mean quitting the internet cold turkey. No one would expect that from us right now. Think of it as going on a, quote, diet and replacing bad habits with healthier ones. We need to give our weary eyes some much-needed downtime from tech. And then he says there's lots of great things to do online, but moderation is often the best rule for life. And it's no different when it comes to screens, said Gene Twench, I guess is how you say it, a psychology professor at San Diego State. And he's also the author of a book called iGen. And iGen is a book about younger generation and the people growing up in the smartphone era. Too much screen time takes a toll on our mental health, ladies and gentlemen, depriving us of much-needed sleep and depriving us from more productive tasks, experts say. He then continues and says, I, for one, am experiencing this very thing. Before the pandemic, my average daily screen time on my phone was 3.5 hours. But over the last 8 months, the author continues, that has nearly doubled. So I turned to psychology experts for their advice, from setting limits to finding alternatives to our phones. And here's what we can do, folks. Come up with a plan. Not all screen time is bad, right? After all, many students are attending school via video conferencing apps, etc. So the reality is, what we've got to do is assess which parts of screen time feel and or are toxic and make you unhappy. That could be reading the news. It could be Facebook. But the first step is to find out what on earth is toxic and not. Second step, creating a realistic plan to minimize consumption of the bad stuff. Right? First, discover what's toxic. Second, set a plan to minimize consumption of the bad stuff. Right? I think this is a really great article. You could set modest goals, such as a time limit of 20 minutes a day to reading the news, or maybe reading the news on weekends. If that feels doable, shorten the time. Shorten the time limit, make it a daily goal. It'll help you form new habits. Now, some say it's easier said than done. I agree with that. Adam Gazley, he's a neuroscientist. He's also the co-author of a book, The Distracted Mind. Ancient Brains in a High-Tech World is what it's called. And he recommends creating calendar events for just about everything, including browsing the web and taking breaks. This approach helps create structure. For example, you could block off time to read the news and a little bit more time to jump on an exercise bike. If you feel tempted to pick up your phone during your exercise break, folks, you can be aware that any screen time would be violating the time that you dedicated specifically for exercise. You can think of screen time as if it were a piece of candy that you should indulge in, well, occasionally, not all the time. Don't think of it as taking a break necessarily when you're on screen time, because oftentimes screen time creates an opposite of relaxing. Not all breaks are created equal is the point they're making. Dr. Gasly explains, if you take a break and then you go into social media or a news program, it can be hard to get out of that rabbit hole. Amen to that. They say create, quote, no phone zones. We need to recharge our phones overnight, but that doesn't mean that our devices need to be next to us while we sleep. They say many studies have shown that people who keep phones in their bedroom sleep more poorly. They're harmful to our slumber in many ways. We'll talk about it in seconds.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, we're talking about an incredible article called Tech Fix. Digital diet, you know you need one. You know you need it. The blue light from screens, they continue, can trick our brains into thinking that it's daytime. And some content we consume, especially news, can be psychologically stimulating and keep us awake. So it's best not to look at phones within an hour before going to bed. Now, by the way, phones, you got to think of that in terms of TV and everything else screen-wise also. What's more, they say the phone's proximity when you're sleeping could be near you and tempt you to check it in the middle of the night when you wake up. His number one piece of advice is no phones in the bedroom, even to charge near you. Have a charging station outside the bedroom. We can create another no phone zones outside the bedroom as well. The dinner table, for example, is a prime opportunity for families to agree to put phones away for at least 30 minutes and reconnect with one another, spend time together. You need to resist the hooks, the tech hooks. Believe it or not, these companies have created systems designed to keep us glued to our screens. Facebook and Twitter, for example, made their timelines so that you could scroll endlessly through updates, maximizing the amount of time you actually spend on their sites. Adam Alter. This guy's a marketing professor at New York University's Stern School of Business. And he teaches this idea. He's also the author of a book called Irresistible: The Rise of Addictive Technology and Keeping Us Hooked. He said that tech companies actually employ techniques in, quote, behavioral psychology that make us addicted to their products. He highlighted two major hooks that they use: artificial goals, similar to video games. These sites create goals to keep users intentionally engaged. Those include the number of likes and or followers we gain on Facebook and Twitter. The problem is the goals are never realized, right? They're never actually fulfilled. So that's one point. Artificial goals. All right, there's goals to keep you engaged, and those goals are never fulfilled. There's always more to scroll. There's always more likes. There's always more followers. There's always more people to follow. There's always, right? The second one is called friction-free media. YouTube automatically, for example, plays the next up YouTube video. Not to mention the never-ending Facebook and Twitter scrolling. Now think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Before in life, there was a natural end to every experience, like reading the last page of a book, for instance. One of the biggest things these tech companies have done is intentionally removing what are called stopping cues. Right? Think about it. They've removed what are called normal, natural stopping cues. All right? That natural end has been circumvented. There's no end. What do, we ask? For starters, we can resist the hooks by making our phones much less intrusive into our lives. You say, how do you do that, huh? You turn off notifications for all apps, except those are essential for work and keeping in touch with other people, right? So you can reduce the amount of notifications. Think how often your phone's just sitting there and then it has a notification and it reaches out and says, pick me up and use me, right? If you feel strongly addicted, take extreme measures and turn your phone to grayscale mode. There's also a simpler exercise than even that. When we're outside of work, a lot of what we do online doesn't matter. And it's time that can be better spent elsewhere. The difference between getting 10 likes and 20 likes, it's all just meaningless. Anyway, I wanted to talk about this article in detail. That's the article. They leave out, in my opinion, several things that I believe are critical. So their point about we need a digital diet, no doubt, good point. Their point about the intentional creation of addictive behaviors by these companies using, psychology. The intentional effort to create goals that addict you and that tempt you into time wasting. No doubt that's all there. They use this psychology to do this. They know full well what it takes. And they literally manipulate their apps to make it endless. This idea that they have circumvented the natural ending of most normal experiences and created a no end to this, they've done all that. It's a psychological, intentional effort. I'm not here to debate if it's evil or if it's just, you know, hey, everybody wants you. If I build an app, I want you to spend as much time on it as possible, right? But at some point, it points to evil because it destroys your time. It makes you discouraged. It gets you to focus on the world and compare yourself to the world all the time. There's so many negatives, it's not even funny. But what I want to focus on, a little bit different from their article, is this. There are a lot of wonderful, positive, good things you can do with media. A ton of them, folks. And I don't have all the answers, but I have some of the answers. And so you can intentionally use media several different ways. And when I say media, I mean the whole blogosphere, the whole internet, whether it's to look up something, whether it's to communicate with somebody, no matter what the purpose is, I think we need to intentionally do a couple of things. One, make yourself aware of this. When are you picking up your phone, your digital device, to do something intentionally? And then literally put the phone down. When are you doing that, which is appropriate and good and necessary? Hey, I got to look up a phone number right now so I can call Steve. Hey, I need to see what the weather's like because we're going out today and I want to make sure that I dress appropriately, you know, warm enough, etc. You know what? I need to text my daughter and tell her that I'm going to be there in 20 minutes. Okay, those are all legitimate things that are good and that are fine. And when am I picking up my phone? Taking an action that's needful, and then putting my phone down again, right? When am I doing those kinds of things, which are legitimate, versus when am I picking up my phone for no, quote, legitimate reason? Oh, I need to check my Facebook. I need to check the news. I need to see who's messaged me lately. Now, don't get me wrong, those can have some benefit. But those are also the time wasters because what you do is you say, I'm bored, phone. I have nothing to do right now, phone. And you start to get this mentality that your phone is your gap filler. Your phone is your time waster, is another way to say it. Your device becomes not a solution in and of itself, but a itself instead of a solution. Right? So I say, well, I'm at the car dealership and I'm waiting for them to, you know, replace my tires or wherever I am. I'm just going to pick up my phone. And before you know it, you spent 2 hours and it never ends. So one of the great ways that you can turn off, disconnect from digital media is a text fix, which is a digital diet. You know, you need it. That's one way. Is to say, when am I intentionally doing something that needs to be done versus when am I just using it as a, quote, crutch, as a time filler or as a time waster? Or when am I just endlessly on there without a real purpose? Oh, I know I need to get more likes, and I know the goal is I got to see the feed. Man, it's been 3 days since I've been on Twitter. The scrolling and the messages and the news that I can gain is endless. I get all that, but that's not a real purpose. Okay, ask yourself, what is the purpose for me being on my digital device right now? And if you can't clearly point to a legitimate, appropriate purpose that makes sense, you need to get off. You need to set it down. You need to separate. You need to create a natural end to things. Okay, these are all points highlighted in the article. And I think that's wonderful. They did a phenomenal job at really bringing this to our attention and providing solutions to reduce screens time, right? And I think that's wonderful. They talk way more about phones and not enough about other screens, in my opinion. But the point is well taken. When we come back, I want to talk about other things that you can do. It's different than creating a void, by the way. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
President Trump's legal team lost another round in court. Tim Berg at the USA Radio Phoenix Bureau reports that the three-judge panel, which includes the Trump appointee, said there was no evidence to back up the campaign's claim of voter fraud.
President Trump's campaign on Friday lost its appeal in a legal battle to contest Pennsylvania's already certified election results. A federal appeals court in Philadelphia upheld a previous ruling that dismissed the campaign's case to prevent Pennsylvania from certifying its election results, showing former Vice President Joe Biden as winning the state. President Trump took to Twitter and said they would appeal the ruling. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Wall Street had a positive yet abbreviated day on Friday. The Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P 500 all closed higher. This is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I had begun to notice after 10 days with Balance of Nature, I felt better, more energetic. And believe me, for me, that's something because I have energy anyway. But as old as I am, that was really something to start really noticing. You know, we're all responsible for choosing what our attitudes are, but I had a better mental outlook. I mean, I always try to be positive, but there were subtle things in me that I began to notice. I just felt a difference with this.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
A CDC panel will meet Tuesday to decide how a COVID-19 vaccine will be given out once one is approved. The Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices will recommend who to vaccinate and when. The FDA's scientific advisors will meet the following week to review Pfizer's request to allow emergency use of its COVID-19 vaccine candidate. Manufacturers are stockpiling doses in anticipation of approval. Milwaukee County, Wisconsin completed its recount of the presidential election yesterday. After the recount of more than 450,000 ballots, President-elect Joe Biden increased his lead by 132 votes. George Christensen is Milwaukee County Clerk.
I promised that this would be a transparent and fair process, and it was. There was an examination of every ballot by election workers, a meticulous recounting of every ballot that was properly cast, a transparent process that allowed the public to observe.
One suit has already been filed seeking to block certification of the results. You're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, Sam Bushman Live, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about you need to go on a digital diet, ladies and gentlemen. You know you need a digital diet, folks. And so we talked a lot about how to reduce your phone time. But the problem with that whole plan, in my opinion, great article, well written, very valuable. But in my opinion, doesn't cover the essentials, and I'll tell you why. You cannot take a significant crutch, a go-to, if you will, out of your life and not replace it with something. Okay? So just cutting back on your phone or whatever else isn't going to work. So if you go on a digital diet, what you're going to do is you're going to wind up with a bunch of time on your hands. And I recommend two things with that extra time. Number one, hey, all screen time is not the same. All knowledge is not the same either, by the way. Knowing that God lives and he loves me is way more important than knowing how to get my next likes on Twitter or my next followers on Twitter, whatever you want to say, right? And consequently, we need to kind of prioritize and say, look, I don't mind some of the screen time that I spend if I'm spending screen time that's valuable, that's good. And so what you need to do is make yourself a list of good screen time activities and a list of bad screen time activities. And then you need to say to your phone, about your phone, you know what? What is my phone for me? And what is it not for me? It is not an endless music slash video slash news feed, junk feed 24/7 device for me to go to whenever I'm bored. It is not a, and I can go on and on, right? But I can also, on the other side of the coin, say it is a way for me to keep up with my grandchildren in the pandemic. I'm going to spend some time every day FaceTiming my grandchildren. It is a way to have family meetings. So our family, for example, extended family, there's a lot of people, haven't been able to really meet because of the COVID as much as we would like. But they had a digital Zoom conference the other day where everybody just kind of took turns. They went around a circle. All these adult siblings went around a circle. And they told what was happening with their own families and their own lives. And so, you know, my wife would go and she would explain, hey, here's what we're doing as a family. Here's what's going on. Here's what these people are doing and that people. And here's what. And then the next person would go. And it was a great time. It was a really a great way to catch up with family and loved ones. Now, that to me is not negative screen time. That to me is not a waste. There's a definite purpose, and that is to remain involved in one another's lives. Would it be better if we could meet in person? Absolutely. If we can meet in person someday, would I recommend meeting in person instead? Absolutely. But in the meantime, it's the next best thing, and technology allows that to occur. Now compare that to just playing Fortnite all night and then being so tired you can't get up for work hardly, or school, or whatever the case may be. See the comparison I'm getting at? So write yourself a what is my device for list. Is it for this and that? Yeah, it's for watching videos on occasion. It's for a quick update on the news, for sure. It's to check the weather. It's to gain knowledge on subjects. It's all these wonderful things. It's a great communication with family tool. My device could be used to create a diary or a journal of sorts to write down the things, the events that are happening in our lives. That's a wonderful thing. So spend time documenting what it is not and the tasks that to you are negative and the tasks that for you are positive. And the point that I'm getting at is don't leave vacancies in your time where you're just like, oh, man, I can't use my phone now. And you feel some people say I feel naked without my phone. Well, you get what I mean. Don't feel like you're absent something that you're missing. In other words, the equivalent on a diet of starvation. Don't do that. Go back and say, what good can I do? What are the good tasks with my phone? And I mentioned writing a journal is one of them. Writing a letter to people is one of them. Documenting family events and life is one of them. Reaching out and communicating with others in meaningful ways is one of them. If you're a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or other churches, religious organizations have real great use for technology. You can study the scriptures. You can read your Bible. You can also, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, they do a significant family history. They do a project called indexing, which allows you to take historical records that are oftentimes graphical because they've been scanned into a computer, digitized, and they take those and then you read the graphics and then you write down what it actually says so that we turn the graphics into text, and now they become infinitely more searchable and usable and more accurate. So your goal is to create searchable data that's more accurate. That's the goal. That's the intent. And there's people that are spending hours and hours and hours on that, building family history, building indexes so you can find more about your ancestors, more about your loved ones, more about your forebears or forefathers, and you can learn about them and learn about their lives and who they were and what they did and their hard times and their great times and their successes and failures. And it's a wonderful thing to do. There's so much good. And so I really would recommend making time for good things. Don't just put on there, hey, I got to get off the phone, off the phone, off the phone. Rather say, what do I want my device to be used for? And how do I make sure that I'm using it that way? So my first suggestion is do not leave massive vacancies in your life due to going on a, quote, digital diet. Make sure that you put things in place that fill your time with much more meaningful tasks. Build a list of good things to where if you are bored or you do have time on your hands, do I want to pick up the phone and just endlessly scroll in the news? when I get done, feel worse than when I started? Or do I want to learn something? You know, one of the great values of digital devices is the ability to learn so many things. Maybe you take a class. Maybe you research subjects. I don't know. Everyone can find out what is best for them to do. So that's my first suggestion, is make sure that you fill it with good things. And you got to make a list of the good things. Hey, I don't have anything to do right now. I'm going to use a digital device. What are the good things I can do with that device? You know, you can go watch TED Talks. At least those have an educational focus as opposed to mindless TV shows or reruns of TV or whatever, right? Find ways to look for good things to do with your time. All right? The second thing that I would recommend, in addition to that, looking for the good things, is this idea that I mentioned, which was, make sure that when you pick up your digital device that you're doing so with a purpose. So one, make sure that you have a purpose in mind. And the purpose has to have a start, a get it done, and an end. Those are the two things. Pick up my phone and have a start, get it done, and an end to the purpose, and set the device down. Secondly, then, to find good things, make a list of good things to do. When I'm going to use my phone, I'm going to spend time picking it up, getting whatever done, and having an end to a good thing. Something positive, something necessary. That's what I'm going to do with my digital device. And I'm going to decide to start to do it today. Now, one of the things mentioned in the article that I find interesting as well, they say, hey, put your phone in grayscale, because then it's just not so compelling or so interesting. It's kind of boring and drab. One of the other ways you can do that is not buy such a powerful digital device. You say, what, Sam? I got to have the latest, greatest. No, you don't. You know what? You say, well, the photos are way better. I got to have the best photo. You know what? The photos on the average phone today are a gazillion times better than what 6,000 years of the world's history has ever had. Okay, it's all relative. And so don't buy such an expensive phone. Say to yourself, the phone is to serve me, not own me. And like I say, let technology serve you, not own you, right? Let technology serve you, not own you. That's an important concept to understand. It's an important concept. And I think it's at the key of this digital addiction world we seem to find ourselves in and unable to avoid. Do not let technology own you. Demand that technology is serving you, not owning you. And as we have more and more and more digital devices around, make sure that you're using them in meaningful ways. What do I mean by meaningful? In ways that encourage you to get out and do something. All right, when we come back, I want to talk about some of the other pitfalls we find ourselves in also. Reality versus virtual reality, if you will. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Make sure big tech serves you, not owns you. All right? Let me give you an example to make the point. You answer in your own mind how valuable this device is. Is it necessary? Is it a good idea? You answer the question. The toilet seat that could save millions of lives. You heard me. The toilet seat that could save millions of lives. New gadget can detect early signs of heart failure by picking up blood pressure levels, oxygen levels, and heart rate. Yeah. Sit down on the toilet. It can go ahead and, you know, do a quick analysis of your health there. Yeah. Is that good? What's going to happen to that data? They say the gadget, no problem, fits over the top of a normal toilet seat, and it measures your heartbeat. It can also sense blood pressure and levels of oxygen in your blood. Developers say that it could save the lives of potential heart disease victims. They say the technology could spot signs of heart trouble before symptoms are even noticed. Sounds phenomenal, doesn't it, folks? In some ways, yes. In some ways, it becomes very scary. I submit to you that technology is really neither good nor bad. It's in the hands of those who use technology. Right? It's in the hands of those who use it on whether it's good or bad. So I look at the toilet seat that could save millions of lives is a good technology. But it all depends on how we use it. If the government decides they're going to mandate one of these toilets for everyone, then it's probably a pretty bad thing. If the data goes to government to monitor, then it's a serious problem. But if you use it responsibly, internally, I submit to you that it could be wonderful. Maybe I wouldn't put it on my toilet seat. Maybe I'd find another gadget. Right? But how do we deal with this? And the answer, in my opinion, is to use technology less. And you say, wow, this coming from a nationally syndicated digital talk show host? That's right. It's exactly what I'm talking about. Use technology less. In fact, Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey's platform was probably way too aggressive in banning conservatives. But see, right now, they still ban the president of the United States. See, technology can be used for good or bad. And oftentimes people are tempted to use it, and they use it in very, very negative ways. You may not be able to control what the digital companies do, the big companies, the big tech companies, whatever, right? But you can decide how much tech is in your life. You can decide how much you're involved. Right? I can't solve everything, but I can decide how much the technology is involved in my life. Right? And I do that by simplifying my involvement in technology. Let me give you an example. Headline says Fox News offers its fans even more for just $65 a year. Tempting. I've been wanting to get that for a long time. Man, just think what I can watch for 65 bucks a month. See, you get tempted into that. But you got to ask yourself the is not questions about your digital device. Is it just to get endless more on Fox News? They say it's a first test of its kind for Fox News. How much do people love it? Will people pay for it? Right? Fox News plans to market Fox Nation by offering branded products to early subscribers. They're going to give you more and more and more. And the trend seems to never end. Right? That's the problem with it. How much? When I was a kid, they used to have two or three channels on your TV, but now, what, you have, if you have the right services, 200-300 channels? I don't even have most of that TV stuff, but I do have a Roku player, and that alone has thousands of channels on it, right? When is it just too much? When do I back off and say I only want to know about and focus on what I want and what I have? So what I do with my Roku player is I put the 10 or 20 top channels, things that I want to watch or that I want to be paying attention to on my home screen, and the rest I just ignore. When do you say less is more? Now, this radio program has done that for years, and we have less commercials than anybody in the business as a result. Less is more oftentimes. But if you think about technology and you make sure technology serves you, not owns you, you start asking the, what is my digital device and what is it not? When you start to think about less is more as a concept, you begin to understand the digital diet that we're talking about. All right, Fox News offers its fans even more for 65 bucks a year. When will that end? When will the even more plan be over? When can they offer me less? Maybe less for less money even. Oh, well, Sam, that'd be contrary to business principles. No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. All right, now let's look at this headline to make the point. Headline says this. Seven reasons to avoid the secret sister gift scam. Dwight Adams wrote the article for the Indianapolis Star. USA Today picked it up. That's where I found it. But you got to ask yourself that kind of a question too. Right? What on earth is this program they're talking about? Remember the old days, folks, when they had chain letters? Well, the Secret Sister scam is really a digital playbook or a digital carry out of that theme. And you got to avoid these like the plague because they're a scam. They're a Ponzi scheme, folks. So you've got to run from that stuff. You got to say, look, I'm not going to get scammed. And I know what's interesting is sometimes people would bring up this idea and say, well, Sam, you know, they can do what they want. I don't think so. I don't think so at all. Okay, we've got to take control of our lives and say, look, if it sounds too good to be true, it is. I'm not going to let this, you know, Ponzi scheme, this letter scheme affect me. So look out for those situations, folks. You don't need to get scammed. Now, headline says this, Facebook overstated video views. Think about it. They say Facebook apologized for an error for the way it measured video viewership. They called it a miscalculation. They say, although this is only one of the many metrics marketers look at, we take serious responsibility for this and we apologize. But ladies and gentlemen, think about that for a minute. Facebook overstated video views. And they had to apologize, folks. Think about that. Facebook apologized for it. It greatly overstated on average how much time people spent watching videos. Wow. Now here's the problem. They allowed this go on for more than 2 years, they admit. They've been excluding videos that were watched for fewer than a certain amount of time, so it made their averages artificially go up. They basically make you believe that they're so sorry, golly, they didn't really catch this. But I submit to you, this was done on purpose. This goes along with the psychology idea that says we got to have people watch more. So they inflate the numbers. But look out for scams on the internet, folks. And the less you do on these digital systems that are just scroll-related, or time waster related, the less likely you'll get caught up in one of these scams. Okay? You've got to focus on this. Now, here's the interesting thing. Headline from the mainstream press says, Facebook overstated video views. My response is, Facebook overstated video views. They got caught. Exclamation point. That's really what should be highlighted out of this piece, out of this story, out of this reality. Right? Serious business. They say FM radio faces government switch off as digital in the UK has more now. Everybody's dealing with digital so they can turn off their analog stuff, they claim. Is that good? Well, it all depends on who does it, right? Now they say study links teenage ADHD to digital media use. Think about that headline. Is that what's going on? Is that why so many people have ADHD? If it happens to teenagers, does it happen to adults? USA Today, by the way. Interesting, interesting article to say the least, folks. Right? There you have it. I wanted to spend an hour on digital. And I want to give you tools and tips and tricks to reduce your involvement with media. Lay down your technology. Lay down how much time you spend with it. Please, it will bless your life and your family if you do. All right, thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hopefully it was educational and entertaining. I'm Sam Bushman. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word. Tell your friends. Live and on-demand radio free. God save the Republic of the United States of America.